You know, this looks really bad when you have multiple presentations. It wasn't me that chose, I said, you know, but I did submit the abstracts. And so the five presentations that are in this session, they're labeled all Colorado, but not all of them are. Four of them are related to diabetes, though. The last one you're going to see, which I'm presenting also, is on immunization. So don't ask me how that one got in there. But this one is just in general, and this might be an NASN. How many of you are school nurses in the audience? And you're part of NASN, correct? This is good to hear. Okay. So this is kind of a commercial about some of the how NASN is taking the charge of equipping school nurses with what they need for effective diabetes management. So we hope to describe three strategies targeting the school nurse that result in a consistent approach to diabetes management in the schools. Why? Well, the background to the why we've already kind of talked about. There's school issues, there's student issues, and there's parent issues. And I don't think I need to go over these anymore. Maybe what we need to highlight, though, are some of the federal and state law. That is an issue in the school that not all schools, and again, we're talking across the country, not just Colorado, are aware of when they think about the importance of having a nurse well-equipped to deal with diabetes management in the school. Under parents, we haven't talked about, sometimes families give the child too much responsibility. That's an issue that we see also across the country. And I think we've already talked about the newly diagnosed or distractions. We get a lot of pushback sometime at the national level. Why do you need a school nurse? You know, the kids are doing it well in their own home. But to educate the educators that once you put a child in a classroom of 30 with lots of distractions going on, they may not be as accurate with their testing or interpreting the results. So the issues are a little bit broader. Other challenges at school kind of set the stage for the need for NASN to respond. And we've talked about this, the staffing. Well, where Colorado is at 1 to 2,000 ratio, Vermont, for example, is like 1 to 375, something like that. Even better. And then there are states that have a 1 to over 5,000 ratio. So nationally, this is an issue. Competing health priorities, as we said. Nursing delegation, not allowed everywhere. So NASN needs to kind of help respond and equip nurses that aren't allowed to delegate, as well as those that are allowed to delegate. Challenges at school, again, the Nurse Practice Act. It's nice when you have one state and you can educate the nurses all based on that one Nurse Practice Act, but NASN is a national voice trying to help all states with very different Nurse Practice Acts as well as education laws. There's some guidance that kind of helps shape what how NASN responds. ADA puts out a position statement every January on the diabetes care in the school and daycare setting. They clearly address what should be in the diabetes medical management plan, responsibilities for the parents, student, and the schools. So NASN is very aware and involved in what ADA is coming out and saying. Another piece of information that helps guide NASN is American Association of Diabetes Educators. They have a position statement where they talk about the importance of the diabetes educator helping within the school, but they also acknowledge the school nurse role in coordinating diabetes care in the school and coordinating the health team. National Diabetes Education Program, another voice that helps guide NASN's response to how do we equip school nurses. How many of you are familiar with the school guide? By the way, this is coming out, it's been revised, and it should be coming out, we've been saying this for a while, but it should be out before the end of the year. It's actually being printed right now. And those of you that aren't familiar with the school guide, within that, maybe I should mention, it is NASN is one of the authors of this. Myself, I was on the author, contributed to the first one and to the second one. And it's endocrinology, it's family physicians, it's ADA, it's a lot of different people have come together to come up with the best guidance for diabetes management in the school. So if you're not familiar with that, I encourage you, it's free to download, and they're trying to get funding to mail another copy out to all nurses. They mailed this first one out to everybody when it first came out in 2003, and they plan to do it again this year. So how does NASN respond in light of all the issues going on in the school, knowing what the school nurse has to deal with, and the guidance from all these professional organizations? Number one, participation with stakeholders we feel is very important. Two, we think it's really important to have timely resources for the nurses. We seek funded projects, like the MAP project we just talked about, and we provide continuing education to school nurses, all for the purpose of informing school nursing practice. This slide just demonstrates some of the stakeholders that we are at the table with at the national level. The Diabetes Council School Health Work Group, I don't know, maybe that's one that might not be as familiar. That's actually a relatively new group within the National Association of Chronic Disease Directors. I have to, all the acronyms at the national level. But I don't think any of the others are a surprise, are they? But we are at these tables, these national tables. Based on all those documents and based on our partnership with stakeholders, we have come up with key components for diabetes management at school. And this is just a sampling of what this document looks like. It has key components for the unlicensed person in school, key components for the school nurse, and then we provide the evidence base. This is just two examples. Case finding is something both the unlicensed person does as well as the school nurse in relation to diabetes. And there's the supporting evidence, our scope and standards, standard one, and our NASN position statement. And staff training, the same thing. This particular document should be published in the Journal of School Nursing soon. I'm doing the edits on it as we speak, actually. Resources. So with those components then guide. They take all those voices from other organizations and say, what is it school nurses need to know? So from those components, we have developed resources on a web page. We have a dedicated web page for diabetes. And if you haven't gone there, feel free to visit that. Lots of national resources, NASN resources, and some key web links. We also provide professional statements to provide that professional voice for the practicing school nurse. We have one on diabetes management, a position statement, one on delegation, rescue medications in the school, and individualized healthcare plans. Funded projects, I don't think I need to say anything more about the MAP project. And our goal with that is to get that in the literature so people understand what's happening. Kathy and I, and a couple of other, we're working on an article, and Kathy in the audience, working on an article to describe the Colorado experience. Just about ready to publish an article explaining the Albuquerque and St. Paul, Minnesota experience. So that's one of the reasons why we get the funded projects, so that we can get the voice out or get the news out to other nurses to consider doing this in their school district. HANDS, as we said, is an educational component, and I wanted to mention mostly about the South Carolina AHAC and JDRF collaborations. You've already seen this about the MAP project. The impact on the MAP project, I'm not going to go over either because we've already talked a lot about that. Impact of the MAP project is what the evaluation results are with what happened here in Colorado. What I can say, though, is three of the sites, the other sites, St. Paul, Minnesota, Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Columbus, Ohio, have maintained and they've expanded this project. St. Paul, and if you had questions about the model, I don't know if that's what your questions were for Kathy, they have expanded it to asthma and seizure disorder, and I think one other area. Food allergies, I think, yes. You've already seen that. So lessons learned from that project, the MAP project, was, again, standardization of forms is very important. Then we take those messages from these funded projects and morph those into other resources for the school nurse. And I think Kathy's already talked about some of the challenges. Recommendations developing the DRN role. I have to say, if you are considering doing something like that, Kathy has a great track record for how she developed the DRNs versus how we developed the DRNs in the other grant sites was not as robust. So HANDS, we have 16 RN school nurses and 16 RN CDEs. We try to get RN CDEs, not dietitian CDEs for this. 16 states are represented from California to Massachusetts with these trained trainers. And it, again, highlights the coordinated approach to diabetes management needed in school. This is the content of the HANDS program. If anybody's interested in getting HANDS to come your way, these are the forms and tools that are in the HANDS program. Again, we don't say these are the ones you have to have, but if you don't have something, take these and you can manipulate them. This is the reach to date of the hands. We've reached over 5,000 nurses with this program and overseas. We were in Germany in 08. When we think about the impact of hands, though, I have to, yes, we get evaluations, but we had a partnership with South Carolina AHEC where they were doing a pre and post test. So that was the first time that we've started to get some impact our program outcomes, not just the process outcomes. So I just want to just give you a little teaser of some of the data that was collected with this partnership, identifying the need, the acknowledged need, essentially, of nurses. And you can see here pre and post. They did a pre-test when the nurses signed up for hands, and a post-test 3 months later, an online survey. And there was a change. You can see the change for all of these different markers. And I'm just giving you a sampling of the knowledge questions that they posed. They also looked at school accommodations and policies. So it wasn't just knowledge that's being evaluated. Does hands have anything to do with policies and accommodations? And again, a change before and after the hands workshop. And finally, they were looking at specifically advocacy roles of the school nurse. Participation, IEPs, 504s, what, you know, this is implications for practice. And again, there was a change pre and post in the AHEC study. We currently have a relationship with JDRF. They're funding us to take hands to all the school nurses in New Mexico and Arizona. Now, don't ask me how the funders decide two states like that, but they, you know, the funder wants to do that. That's what we're going to do. But we are going to continue this pre-post evaluation with JDRF. We're having our first workshop in Arizona December 11th. So now I have to look at my notes, see what I was supposed to say at this point in time. I hope that you see that NASN has used the national guidance, the national partnerships that we've developed to develop ways to respond, to equip the school nurse to do effective diabetes management in school. And that was the whole gist of this particular part of the presentation.
Any questions?
Mm-hmm. I'm not a school nurse, I'm a public health nurse. However, my daughter has type 1 diabetes and she'll be entering school next year.
Uh-huh.
And I work over in Western Nebraska, and the public health department that I work for, we serve 10 counties. And your nurse to student ratio is, I what I'm trying to say is, our nurses don't have nearly as many students. So that's
yeah.
However, we don't have resources for type 1 diabetes in our area. We have to travel here to our data centers because we don't have the practitioners that know enough about it. Mm-hmm. So we have a better ratio, but we don't have the resources. So I think it would be interesting to do something like this where I'm from to connect to all those school nurses. And I don't know if the people are more open and aware of diabetes than it should.
Absolutely, you're right in the incidence, both type 1 and type 2. And type 2 is being managed with insulin in the schools. So keep that in mind as we see more and more of that. With the MAP project, one of the things we really, the policy thing, that's why I keep bringing that up, it was real important that the nurses, we got the nurses in those districts. The other part of the MAP was just in large urban school districts that didn't have resources necessarily. Oakland, California was an example. So the importance of them developing a collaborative that was pushed, and that the results were very positive. So they were able to tap into resources. They were able to raise the voice that, you know, they didn't realize they didn't have the resources. So what Kathy's done on the state level, we were encouraging nurses to do on the local level. Do you want to have something else to say?
One of our diabetes resource nurses is actually a public health nurse out at Kit Carson County, and she has about 4 or 5, and she is really interested in diabetes and does it for adults, and so she's taken on the DRN role. So that could even be something, you know, you could even, pardon? She's on the eastern part, in the eastern plains. in Colorado, and she has about five or six counties that she's said she would travel to talk to the school nurses. I mean, there's not very many in that area, but she has provided as a resource, as a, you know, she's considered a diabetes resource nurse, even though she's not a school nurse, she's a public health nurse. Well, we start with, they have to take the hands training, the one that Nick Nickley just reviewed. That was one of them. And then we have trainings throughout the year. I'll have one in March. The ADA has a huge diabetes expo, so the day before I bring all the resource nurses together and we have a whole day training. We bring pump reps, we bring, you know, pharmaceutical reps. We, you know, we'll do things on training. We had someone from the Disabilities Council here in Denver come talk about 504s and you know, how to get involved in that and how to, you know, write up a 504 for diabetes. So we kind of do all sorts of things, and then we meet again, and usually for 2-day training in June, and there's just things ongoing during the year that we just make sure that they'll shadow another diabetes resource nurse, or they'll go to Barbara Davis Center for the day and spend the day there. So it kind of gets them up. No, because we sometimes will have nurses come from Wyoming to attend hands, or, you know, of course, you could always talk to Barbara Davis Center about spending the day with them, or you'd be more than welcome to join us. So.
One thing I didn't say is I'm also employed by the National Association of School Nurses, and if you're from another state and you would like to, if you're from another state and you would like to put together a program like this in your state, we can connect you with the school nurse affiliate in the state and the leaders and the school nurse consultant. And in fact, the school nurse consultant from Nebraska is here at this meeting. I ran into her earlier. So, you know, whatever state you're from, this is a model that can be replicated in that state, just as they have done in two other states.